The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather this morning, O Father, because you've called us. We're grateful that you've done that. You've called us to be your people. You've set aside a day for us to gather for worship, for fellowship. We thank you, O Christ, that through your finished work on the cross, your life and death and resurrection and ascension, we can indeed come and worship with gladness. And we thank you that as the Lord Jesus has been glorified, he has sent the Holy Spirit in his fullness to dwell with your people. And we ask you, O Holy Spirit, to guide us through this hour of worship today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. All those characteristics and attributes were and are fulfilled and continue to be present in our Lord Jesus. And so our catechism question concerns how we are become partakers of all those things that this promised Messiah would offer. I'll read question 29, and please answer it with me. How are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ? We are made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ by the effectual application of it to us by his Holy Spirit. Let's take a few moments now to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we gather this morning and as we come now to a few moments of prayer before you, before we prepare to study your word, we do acknowledge that in the rhythm of our day-to-day life, we do come to the end of a calendar year and the beginning of a new one. We acknowledge that puts different things on our minds as we look back and as we think of the future. And so as we do this, Lord, we're thankful to you that you are with us, that we can never escape your presence and we would never want to. We thank you for your providence that superintends and governs every day of our life. Lord, we praise you for your power, omnipotence, that all power that you have. We praise you for your righteousness. You are right in all you do. You have all wisdom. Thank you that you, through your word and your spirit, and even counselors here on earth with us that you've given us, you grant us portions of that wisdom that we might live. Thank you. Father, we praise you for your patience with us individually and even with nations. Being patient that through repentance and renewal, we might partake again of your mercy and grace. Thank you for your mercy and grace we have in Christ that we have applied to us through the Holy Spirit and that we live by every day. Lord, we thank you, thinking of all these attributes, we thank you for your goodness. Because of your goodness, we can approach you without fear. We can approach you as children to a father, and yet we can also have an appropriate reverence, a holy fear of you. We thank you that because of your goodness, we do come to you even this morning to find grace and mercy in time of need. Because of your goodness, we can confess our sins even this morning. We've sinned many specific sins this past year, this past month, this past week, even this morning. We confess these sins to you, sins of word and of deed, doing things we ought not do, not doing the things we should do. We ask that you would forgive our sins. We come to you because of the merits of Christ, and we thank you that in him we have forgiveness. Lord, we praise you for your steadfast love, that covenant love that holds tight to us. Lord, we thank you that we can see in your creation your goodness, that through your providential ordering of our lives, we can walk in peace and look to the future with hope. We thank you for your scripture. Make us more and more people of your word who read it and meditate on it and who pray it. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we look toward this new year. Help us walk and step with the Spirit, walking with Christ. Help us depend upon Christ for all things. Help us commune with Christ through your Spirit and your Word. Help us as a congregation to follow Jesus faithfully, pressing forward, not complaining in the labor before us, valuing the rest that you give us, thankful for all we have. And Lord, we now commit the rest of this service of worship to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to have more of a Bible study, though, in between, a transitional kind of period here. And we're going to study the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be thinking of some of the passages we've been looking at, really for our call to worship and our responsive readings, and as well some of those birth narratives in Matthew. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read here in just a moment. You can look in your order of worship. I'm going to read the two Isaiah passages there in the middle column, Isaiah from Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 11, and then I'll pray to begin. But we're going to have basically a Bible study today as we think about the Holy Spirit. And then as I go through various things in this sort of Bible study, sermonic Bible study, I'll apply it at the conclusion with some very, very specific ideas, I think, that you can take home and will help you as you think about the work of the Spirit. But for the purposes of here beginning this study this morning, I'm going to read it myself right here out of the order of worship, Isaiah 7, 14, and then 11, 1 and 2. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Holy Spirit, guide me as I lead us through this study of yourself, of who you are, O Holy Spirit. We pray that you would build us up and that you would lift up our Lord Jesus, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In Ezekiel 37, and you don't need to turn there, among the many places, and if you do a study or are able to do a study of the Holy Spirit through the Scripture, which I've been doing, I admit, for several weeks, maybe a couple of months, I've been listening to a study of the Holy Spirit by Sinclair Ferguson, you see that just like the Bible is the story of God saving his people through this promised Redeemer, as well as the story of God the Father and all that he would do, it's also the story of the Spirit. And one of the places we see the Spirit is in Ezekiel. And you know the story where Ezekiel is brought in the Spirit of the Lord, and he's brought into the middle of a valley. And again, you have this interplay of this word Spirit and breath. By the way, let's just do this now. Ruach. Y'all say with me, Ruach. Ruach. That's the Hebrew Spirit. I don't do a lot with the languages, but Spirit is a good one. In the Greek, it's pneuma. Say that. Pneuma. And then even in the word Spirit, Ferguson points out this is onomatopoeic. Poetic. Onomatopoeic. It's a word that sounds like the actual meaning that it is bringing forth. Ruach. The Ruach is the Spirit of God. And so Ezekiel, in the Ruach of God, he goes and prophesies, and this Spirit fills those bones. He prophesies God's word, and it fills those bones, and they live. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God bringing life. He eventually says in that passage in Ezekiel 37, I will put my Spirit or my Ruach within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and you'll know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. I want to think for a few minutes here about God's Spirit, and we'll see if I can pull it off, just kind of giving you a basic sort of biblical study of just various passages. You could choose so many. I'm going to try to anchor it somewhat in Isaiah and his prophecies of Christ, and then in Christ's birth narratives. But you really have to go all the way back to the beginning. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give a teaching here for the first part. We'll apply it with some points at the end. So we're just going to have a overall just study of the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. Okay, now you can look in your order of worship here for this one there on the page with the Scripture at the bottom. We actually see a sense of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, all the way back in the very beginning. We all know Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We think about that probably fairly often, but we don't all often go right into verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right there at the beginning in creation. We don't see it in its fullness, but we see aspects, and the rest of the Bible helps fill this back in for us so that we can look back at Genesis 1 and see this, that we see the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know that God created things through the Word, through His Son, the Word of God, Christ, but also there is the Spirit of God. And we're told God creates the heavens and the earth, so there's a created matter, a created mass, without form and void. And there's the Spirit of God hovering. And God's going to use His Spirit to take away that void and for it to have meaning and order, and for that formlessness to have form. We're going to come back to this especially as I apply it. I mean, in fact, that some of the very language I get to apply it there at the end will come from here, but There's the Holy Spirit doing his work, ordering things, putting things together, doing the work that the Father sends him out to do. In fact, using the same idea of the breath, I didn't include this, I really just forgot to. In 2:7, we're told as he formed Adam, he breathed, that same word, breathed. The Spirit is both the Holy Spirit of God, and yet as a spirit, it's the same word for wind is used for spirit. And there's a sense of the power that we have, that we can sense from, you know, we can see the power of the wind as it blows the leaves on the trees. Well, so it was. God breathed into our first parents and they had life. So the Holy Spirit brings life. There's a couple of other places in Scripture that give us some help here understanding this part of the idea. And in Psalm 104, a psalm of praise to God, just recounting so many things that he's done. There's a place where he's talking about the creation itself, which would be animals and trees and vegetation. He says, when you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. We see God's Spirit giving life to everything that has life. Even more so, we know, giving spiritual life. We see that it's God's Spirit that brings renewal. We all can use some renewal, can't we, as a year ends and a new year begins. God's Spirit brings forth renewal. When he removes his Spirit, we wither away. The creation would wither away if he renewed his Spirit. In Job 33:4, Elihu says that the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. We saw in the birth narrative, again, which we covered a week ago, in Matthew 1:18. This is in your order of worship. Now the birth of Jesus took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit entered the womb of the Virgin Mary, bringing life. In that case, the life of the Lord Jesus, fully God and fully man. And so we see this Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, bringing life. Life where there isn't life, putting life there. Also, again, and going back to the creation of the created matter, putting it together. In each of the days of creation, we see the putting together of the things God as God's way each day, filling the earth with the things that God would create, his Spirit there working with him. We see in the Matthew 1 section of Christ, telling us about Christ's birth. I think it's fair to apply the Spirit here too. You remember Joseph wasn't sure what to do. He thought, well, I'll just divorce, you know, I'll divorce Mary quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Then we're even told that prophecy from Isaiah, behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to suggest here God's Spirit brings order out of the chaos of Joseph's confusion. What do I do? The very Holy Spirit that had worked in Mary's womb to bring conception is the same Holy Spirit bringing order to Joseph's life that he could be that faithful father of Christ on this earth. Now, we have this actually all through the scripture. I'm just going to point them out to you. This Holy Spirit coming and bringing order, direction, governance. Moses was filled with the Spirit. We see it in Numbers. Then when his father-in-law helps him to gather 70 elders, these elders are filled with the Spirit, a spirit of wisdom that they can govern this million people. There's even a funny story there as this Spirit comes upon them, giving them this, bringing wisdom to them that they can govern. There's two elders who are not in the group. They're outside. They're outside the camp, and they begin prophesying. And people are kind of frustrated by it, that it appears that someone in the wrong denomination appears to be exercising this particular gift, you might say. And Moses says, "No, I wish that all could have this sense of the Spirit working in them." And more we would see that unfolding in the scripture. Joshua was given a filling of the Spirit. By the way, this isn't I'm not talking about we're just talking about the work of God's Spirit in believers. I'm not suggesting a second filling. We're talking about just God's ordinary work of His Spirit in those that He's called. The judges, God gave them special measures of the Spirit to judge and to rule, and prophets and kings. He equips us for service through His Spirit. He gives us direction, governance. I'll come back to that. And then another aspect of the Spirit, and you have to kind of see. You see what our first parents lost in order to see what one of the things that we gain through the Spirit. I believe I included here, yes, from Genesis 3, I included the verse here where we have our first parents sinning, falling, sin coming into the world. Their eyes are opened. But I included it really for this, for verse 8, Genesis 3, 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That suggests a certain form of intimate fellowship that Adam and Eve had with the Lord walking in the garden. And even though they've sinned, he comes again walking in the garden. I see fellowship there, communion. And it is actually, again, through the rest of the scripture, as we see God unfolding His plan of redemption, that we see that communion being restored, our communion with Him. It's through God's Spirit that we have relationship with Him. God's Spirit is a person. You know, we're going to come back to the Holy Spirit when we're in John, in the Upper Room Discourse. So this is almost just a preview. But the Spirit, though He has power and though He works power, He's a person. You know what? The Holy Spirit is a person that dwells within you. The third person of the Trinity with personality. This isn't like the Force in the Star Wars movies or some other sort of, you know, science fiction. He's a person. And we see the gravity of this. For example, in 1 Samuel 16, we're told the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. He had had some sort of ministration in Saul's life. And in Saul's disobedience, rejection of the truth of God's word, the Spirit departs. And it's all downhill from there. On the other hand, David, who himself disobeyed, and we know he was a man after God's own heart, yet he was a sinner. And after his sin with Bathsheba, when Nathan, obviously through the power of the Spirit, brings forth a word to David, David writes Psalm 51 and prays it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. There is a man in agony, in repentance to the Lord, acknowledging, Lord, I need you to turn away from my sin. I need you to wipe it away. I need you to hide your face from my iniquity. I need you to deal with my sin. But yet, Lord, don't remove your spirit from me. If you leave me, I'll have nothing. Isn't that the remarkable thing about the Christian life? The very one that we sin against is the one that we have to go to for forgiveness. Just the remarkable nature of the oneness, the unity we have in Christ with the Lord. Lord, take away my sins. Wash them away, but don't take away your spirit. In fact, renew it. Give me that renewal power that Ezekiel would later talk about. And so we have so many things. Let me put it into three statements. And I gave you a little hint of this in one of our previous Wednesday night devotions. The Holy Spirit, he brings fullness out of emptiness. These are things that we need to know as we start 2018 tomorrow. We have the Holy Spirit brings fullness out of emptiness. Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest. That's an image of the fullness that God's Spirit brings. The Holy Spirit brings fullness out of emptiness. Just like that empty virgin womb, he brought conception in our Lord Jesus. So for us, the same Holy Spirit offers you fullness. If there's places in your life need to be filled, here's the one who can fill them and fill them to overflowing. He brings life. He also brings new life. He brings renewal. He brings revival. The Holy Spirit also brings form out of chaos. So he brings fullness out of emptiness, form out of chaos. That's what he was doing in the original creation. It describes a creation in verse 1, but in the beginning of verse 2 in Genesis 1, it says, yet it's without form and void, but the Holy Spirit brought order. And we see him doing that in Genesis chapter 1. So he does with us. So he does with us. That's where I think... And he brings, again, this is where I think the Isaiah 11 passage with all those aspects of how this filling of the Spirit on the Promised One gives us some things to help us. That's from Isaiah 11 in verse 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That is, on Christ we have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Here's how this applies to us. It's Christ, through his Spirit, does this work in us and through us and for us. He governs our lives and he leads us. As you walk in step with the Spirit, as we would find in Galatians 5, so for us in our life, this is bringing form out of chaos. This is bringing order out of our confusion. He governs and leads us. He shares with us that spirit of wisdom and understanding. There's also a spirit of counsel and might. Oh, the proverb puts it, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. as we make plans and decisions and as we live day by day. This Holy Spirit brings the order, the form to our life that we need. He put on him a spirit of knowledge. So he helps us become wise, submissive to his word and to his will. A spirit of the fear of the Lord. As Christ works through his spirit in us, so we can more and more become alive to righteousness, to obedience, and dead to sin. He brings fullness out of emptiness. He brings form out of chaos. And he also brings fellowship. And in our case, he brings fellowship out of alienation. Again, I think it's a beautiful picture in Genesis 3 that God comes and calls out Adam. They're hiding. And he comes again to already seeking to restore the fellowship that had been lost. Going back again to Isaiah, you know, the whole Bible is so full. Congratulations to those who read through it this year. You don't have to read through it in a year. There's different ways to read through the Bible. I would suggest taking a book and just sticking in it for a while. I've been in Isaiah for a while, and there's so much there. In Isaiah 63, we have something that you might not have even realized was there. And this is dealing with the fellowship that we have in the Spirit. Isaiah is, you know, obviously in the power of the Spirit, he's recounting the steadfast love of the Lord. He's discussing that God's people were brought out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, how God was with them. But he says, here's what he says that God's people did. And you know the story. As they came out of Egypt and they're traveling in the promised land, he said, they rebelled and they grieved his Holy Spirit. They grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, then God allows them to face the consequences of that. But he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people, he asked the question, where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit? He's saying, I put my Holy Spirit in the midst of them. His Holy Spirit, his presence with them, leading them out of Egypt in that glory cloud. You know, if you think about it, we had his presence. He built a garden. He created a garden for us that we might worship him in his presence. But we sinned. And as he began unfolding his plan of redemption, he then sent his Spirit to guide his people out of Egypt. Then they build the tabernacle where he manifests his Spirit. They eventually have a more permanent residence for his presence, the temple. But lo and behold, for us, he now has said that we're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal, the guarantee of our inheritance. It's that spirit of sonship and daughtership causing us to have a sense of our family relationship with God. The fellowship of his Holy Spirit is that sense of intercession where when we don't even know what to pray, he intercedes for us. Have you dealt with that lately? You're praying and friends, I've dealt with it. My mother is broke her leg in several places. And by the way, the report is she's actually doing well. But she's in a nursing rehab facility in Enterprise. I had my mother dealing with this. My father has had this sort of mysterious stomach infection. He's in St. Petersburg, Florida. My granddad, who's 91, has been trying to take care of my mother, and then his son, who had appeared just recently, suffered a heart attack. All the adults older than me and all of them are facing the afflictions that we face in a fallen world. I've been praying. I've been not knowing what to pray. And the Holy Spirit, thank the Lord, he intercedes for me with groans too deep for words. I know others of you know what I'm talking about. Because he's with you helping you pray with your own groans too deep for words. This is the fellowship we have of the Holy Spirit. And he's the paraclete who walks alongside us. I've said a lot. I hope that some of it makes sense. At least remember this. The Holy Spirit, he brings fullness out of emptiness for you today. He brings form out of chaos for you. He brings fellowship out of alienation. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul was overcome at the end of one of his letters with this wondrous fact, and so he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's my prayer for New Covenant Presbyterian Church and all of our people here on New Year's Eve. Let's pray. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would, in each person here, or even a person listening by radio, that you might apply. Please apply the whatever little nugget of helpful truth they might need today. Apply it to them. And thank you for your presence with us and in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That good word from the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.